This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
دع الأيام تفعل ما تشاء وطب نفسا إذا حكم القضاء ولا تجزع لحادثة الليالي فما لحوادث الدنيا بقاء.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Alhamdulillah, blessed be He who created life and death, and in whose hands is the dominion. He alternated the cycle of the sun and moon and blessed us with different seasons. He created us male and female, and through marriage legislated their union. And He blessed us with children and family as a source of love and object of affection. So praise be to Him who sent down the Quran as a guide and illumination. And may salat and salam be upon the one who shall be resurrected on the praiseworthy station. As to what follows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us to be conscious of Him and when He says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Dear Muslims, one of the topics that is rarely discussed, some might even think it to be taboo, is the topic of divorce. We have spoken about marriage and the blessings of marriage and the techniques to preserve marriage. But it is also important, even if people do not like to talk about it, that we discuss the reality of divorce, because us not talking about it does not change the reality on the ground. Divorce rates in our community and in the broader society around us are skyrocketing, reaching unprecedented highs. And the fact of the matter is that many, many Muslims end up doing divorce in an improper and hasty manner, and then they end up regretting it. So it is best to have a frank discussion and a khutbah or two, or maybe more than this, to remind the Muslims of the reality and of the rules and of the etiquettes and of the warnings in the Quran and Sunnah about this aspect of divorce. It is undeniable, dear Muslims, that our religion has legislated divorce in times of need for a necessity. However, the default ruling is that divorce is not resorted to. It is, at the very least, makruh, the very least, it is discouraged. And in a hadith which scholars have disputed, is it authentic or not? Some have said authentic, some have said a sahabi said this. In any case, we find it in our books. Inna abghad al-halal indallah at-talaq. The most despised of all things that are permissible is divorce. The most despised. Some say this is a hadith, some say a sahabi said it. Either way, it's in our tradition. It's allowed, but it's despised. It's an exit that you only resort to when there's no other way out. And the reality that every imam and sheikh and community leader will tell you is that so many families have been destroyed, and how many children have been deprived of a loving parents and families simply because of the hastiness and the anger and the arrogance of one of the parents, generally speaking, the father. And that is because it is also undeniable that in our Sharia, the husband has the right of divorce. It is in his hands. And there's no question, this is the default ruling. But just because he has that right, it doesn't mean he must invoke it at every time. With right comes responsibility. With privilege comes a sense of responsibility. And the fact of the matter is that so many of our men have not displayed the responsibility that is befitting of this institution. You know, if you read the verses about divorce, Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Talaq, if you read the verses about divorce, you will find so many times the phrase, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا. These are the lines of Allah, do not transgress them. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. Whoever goes beyond the lines of Allah has wronged himself. 7 times in the Quran about divorce, Allah tells the husbands, fear Allah, fear Allah, fear Allah. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal is telling the husbands, they are responsible. Yes, they have the privilege. Yes, they have that right. But with that privilege comes the maturity, the wisdom, the responsibility. In fact, in a hadith in Sunan Ibn Majah, listen to this hadith, dear Muslims. Our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam became irritated at how some men acted irresponsibly. The hadith is in Ibn Majah. He said, what is the matter with some people? مَا بَالُ أَقْوَامٍ. Listen to this. يَلْعَبُونَ. They are making games out of the religion of Allah. They're playing with the Sharia. يَلْعَبُونَ, the Arabic word used is to play. Playing with the Sharia, with the hudud of Allah. They say, I divorce, I take you back. I divorce, I take you back. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called this playing games with the Sharia. Brothers, husbands, men, pay attention. Yes, we have the right of talaq. But to invoke it, to use it as a sword over the marriage, to always make a mockery of it, the Quran and the Sunnah says this is transgressing the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Divorce should only be done with thought, with process. It should never be done spontaneously. It should never be done in an argument. It should never be done in a state of anger. In fact, we learn, and all of us know this hadith, we learn, hadith is in Bukhari, that our Prophet said, every day Iblis sets his throne somewhere on the waters. And he sets forth his minions, he sets forth shayateen to do their evil bidding. And when they come back and they say, I've done this, I've done that, he doesn't pay attention to them. Until finally one of them comes back and he said, I continued bothering one couple until they ended up in divorce. Iblis stands up and hugs him and says, this is the one that has done something. This hadith is in Bukhari. Dear Muslims, shaitan wants your marriage to break up. Shaitan is actively engaged in making a small thing much bigger. One comment to be the end of the world. This is shaitan. The anger that you feel towards the spouse, the father or the mother of your children, the extreme hatred that might come despite the years of love, realize this is the catalyst shaitan's waiting for. And as soon as shaitan finds it, he will jump on it, pounce on it, and make it much bigger. The hadith says that Iblis is talking to this entity, this jinn. The shaitan is saying, I continued harassing. Ma ziltu, I continued. It's not a one-off. It's the lifelong goal of Iblis. He wants to see our marriages break apart. Because he knows when a marriage breaks apart, the children suffer. The children suffer, society suffers. He knows this. So what does he want to do? Continuously, shayateen come and they try to cause a small situation to be much worse. And therefore, if shaitan wants your marriage to break, the sharia wants your marriage to succeed. Remember this point. Shaitan's the one that is happy when a marriage breaks up. The sharia has laws and institutions to try one's best to maintain that marriage. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, hadith is in Abu Dawood, that whoever spoils the mind of a lady until she divorces her husband, that man has nothing to do with us. He disassociated himself from such a person. The hadith primarily applies, A'udhu billah, may Allah protect us, to an evil man who is seducing a married lady to marry. Divorce your husband and I'll marry you. Our Prophet said, anyone who does this, he has nothing to do with us. Laysa minna. He rejected or negated that person being a part of the God-fearing ummah. Anybody who strives to break a marriage, and that is why when Allah mentions black magic, when Allah mentions shayateen, when Allah mentions sihr, what is the one example that Allah gives in the Quran? يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. The number one goal of the magician is to break the bonds between the husband and the wife. Subhanallah, all of the shayateen are working to break our marriage. And Allah is telling us, beware. Allah is telling us, be careful of them. Protect your marriage and do not resort to the end, which is divorce, unless you have no other option. Now in the previous khutbahs, I mentioned a little bit about advice about keeping the marriage together. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit about the exit, because we need to know the exit. Just like when we board the plane, the safety features are given and the exits are said, and we ask Allah refuge, we don't want to go there. But if we need to, then it is best to follow the exit protocol properly. We need to know the protocol if and when the emergency happens. And that is why I will go over very briefly the necessary protocols, or else when we need to do it, who is going to teach you? Unfortunately, all too often, nobody cares to ask about the procedures of divorce. And I say this bluntly and clearly. In planning a divorce, one should even require more planning than in planning the marriage. In thinking about divorce, you should think twice about divorce more than you thought about whether you should get married or not to this individual. Unfortunately, people are hasty and they don't think properly and they do not follow the sharia. What is the methodology of the sharia? What is the guideline of the sharia? Very briefly, first point, which is in the Quran. The first point, dialogue between the couples directly. If there's something really bothering you about your spouse, about your partner, don't keep it bottled up. Try to have a direct dialogue. And we spoke a little bit about this in the last khutbah. Point number two, if that's not working, then get the help and the advice and the mashwara of family and friends. Go to those whom you know, your cousins, your brothers and sisters, your uncles and aunts, your family friends. Go to them and explain the situation. If your niyya is to solve the problem, it is not backbiting to talk about what's happening in the household. And if your niyya is to gossip, Allah knows the difference. If your niyya is to solve the problem, there is no backbiting. And if your niyya is to gossip and to say bad things, Allah knows your niyya. And in the incident of the famous story, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he asked the advice of two people that he trusted about what should he do in the marital situation. He asked the advice of Zayd ibn Haritha, and he asked the advice of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This is Nabiullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He's calling Zayd, and then he's calling Ali, and he says, what do you think I should do about this matter? It's a personal family matter, and he's asking the people whom he trusts. If this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where are you, where am I? There's nothing wrong. Your manliness is not hurt when you ask for help from other people. Ask advice of your family and friends. Do you really think the situation is that bad? Is it salvageable? What advice do you give me? That's stage number two. Stage number three, if it gets beyond this, the Quran is very clear as well. فَبْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهَا. The two of them should decide on an arbitration council. Each one chooses one person. This is not a sheikh, this is not an alim, this is a family friend, a wise relative. This is somebody who knows you. The wife will choose one, the husband will choose one. فَابْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهَا. Anybody whom you trust and has wisdom, doesn't have to know advanced laws of sharia, because human life and the tajriba of marriage doesn't require books of fiqh. It requires years, and it requires white hair, and it requires living through life. You choose a person of wisdom and intelligence, and the husband and the wife choose each one that they think would be more sympathetic to their cause. And then these two adjudicators, these two people sit together, firstly with only the wife, then with only the husband, and then they come together as a family, and as many times as they would like to sit, they should be allowed to sit. As many questions, and then according to some of the madhabs, listen to this, I'm just giving you the opinion, I'm not saying it's right. According to some of the madhabs, what these two judges decide, what these two arbitrators decide, it becomes obligatory on the husband or the wife. When the arbitrator, for example, says to the husband, you must do this, says to the wife, you must do that, then it becomes obligatory because they're trying to solve the marriage. This is stage number three, and that is the hakaman, or the two arbitrators. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this context, when it gets to that very end level, if the two of them want reconciliation, Allah will bring reconciliation about. It's impossible that you pass this level unless it is gone. Red zone has been reached. You cannot pass this level except khalas, it looks like the marriage is over. In which case, if both judges, if both arbitrators say, you know what, this marriage doesn't seem to be working, perhaps divorce is better. If that is what is said, then there is still one final step, and that is the step of istikhara. Never, never, never undertake any major decision of your life without praying istikhara. Dear Muslims, Allah has blessed us with salatul istikhara. You get a job, you get an offer to move to another city, you're thinking of marriage, you're thinking of divorce, anything significant in your life, pray istikhara over this, and do not undertake any decision without praying istikhara. If after all of this, you feel that it is better for the both of you to part your ways, then the proper procedure for divorce is to be followed. I'll talk about the procedure, but before we get there, contrast this long procedure with one argument over a petty thing, and then the husband says, talaq, talaq, talaq. Contrast this. How many steps must be followed? And then you look at people, they say, oh, I said talaq three times, what am I gonna do now? Were you planning to? No, but she says something and got angry. Divorce is never given spontaneously. Never. Divorce is never given in a state of anger. You think about it and you plan it. Allah says in the Quran, فَإِنْ عَزَمُ الطَّلَاقَ. Once they have decided, sure, their azama means to make sure. Once they know they want a divorce, it's never done in haste. Unfortunately, the majority of our divorces are done in haste and anger, unplanned and spontaneous, in a moment of swiftness, which they then regret. Oh, what did I do now? I said divorce. Subhanallah. Allah gave you a responsibility, and Allah gave you a maqam, and you abuse that. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, playing with the religion of Allah. يَلْعَبُونَ بِحُدُودِ اللَّهِ. Nonetheless, once that decision is reached, and the both of them decide, you know what? It is best we part our ways. Still, there is a procedure to be followed, because still Allah says there's a chance I might work a miracle. Allah says in the Quran, there's still a chance. You have to follow the procedure. What is the procedure? Dear Muslims, the Quran has not one, not two, a dozen verses about divorce. Think about it and read these verses. There's an entire chapter called Surah At-Talaq, a chapter of Talaq. Have you read these verses? Have you understood the significance? Do you know the procedures in the Quran? يا أيها النبي إذا طلقتم النساء فطلقوهن لعدتهن وأحصوا العدة. Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ and through him all of us. يا نبي, if you want to divorce your women, divorce them in their proper times. It's not spontaneous. You don't just get angry and divorce. Divorce them in the proper times. And then you count the عدة. What is the proper time? The proper time is that you wait for, if she's in her monthly cycle, it is not allowed to do divorce for obvious reasons. During this time frame, emotions are different, hormones are different. No divorce can take place during that time frame. Also, if you have been intimate with your spouse, you cannot divorce your spouse during that time frame of intimacy until the next cycle happens and she finishes the cycle and then she takes a full bath. How is this hastiness compared to, how is the hastiness of Muslims compared to the verses of the Quran? Divorce is never done spontaneously. The Quran tells the Prophet ﷺ, wait and divorce in the proper time. Ibn Abbas said, the proper time is, you wait until the next cycle comes. If she doesn't have a cycle, if she's whatever reason, you wait 1 month. You wait until the cycle comes and you do not touch her. And then she does the ghusl. And then when she is pure, and if you're sure you want to do it, then you give one divorce. This is the divorce of the sunnah. This is the divorce that it should be done with contemplation, with thought. And you give that one divorce, and then the iddah starts. The iddah. How long is the iddah? 3 cycles or 3 months if she doesn't have a cycle. And during those 3 months, during those 3 monthly cycles, the Quran is very clear. Surah Talaq, read it. لا تخرجوهن من بيوتهن ولا يخرجن. Neither should you, O husbands, expel them from their houses, nor are they allowed to leave the houses, unless zina has occurred, in which case obviously we don't expect the husband to do that. But otherwise, if it's just an argument, if it's any other issue, Allah is saying to both husbands and wives, you're not allowed to live in separate houses. Now obviously if that does happen, the divorce is still valid, but you've contradicted the Quran, you've contradicted explicitly command of Allah for 3 months. Listen to this. And how many of you even knew this, such that we see what is happening in our society? For 3 months, the husband and wife, according to the Quran, need to live together in the same house, under the same roof, but without any physical contact of the romantic kind. Separate bedrooms, okay, but the same house. Allah Azza wa Jal is testing you. You really think you can live without each other? You really think you want to be away from her? Prove it. For 3 months, interact like an ajnabi, but within vicinity. And if in those 3 months, one romantic, even a kiss, anything happens, khalas, the divorce is canceled, alhamdulillah, the marriage resumes. This is an intended consequence of that 3 months, because Allah says in this context, لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يُحْدِثُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَمْرًا. Maybe Allah will bring something new. Maybe Allah will soften the heart. Maybe Allah will bring a new state of love between the two of them. You don't know. In this 3 months, when they see the exit doors open and they know that they can walk through, you do not know what's going to happen to the psychological state of either one or both of them. Maybe they will realize that the pros outweigh the cons. Maybe the issue of the children. Maybe this, maybe that. So in these 3 months, neither is the husband allowed to expel, nor is the wife allowed to leave. وَلَا يَخْرُجْنَا. Very explicit. Then, if these 3 months go by and still no reconciliation has happened, in this case, they part their separate ways, and she may marry another man, and he is free to marry as well. This is one divorce. Another problem that happens, unfortunately, and I have to be honest here, one of the main reasons for this misconception is the foolishness of the dramas that we see in our Muslim cultures of the triple divorce. A triple divorce is against the sunnah by unanimous consensus of all of the scholars of Islam. It is haram. It is sinful. All the scholars unanimously agree. This is not the way you divorce. Unfortunately, some of our dramas and soap operas and whatnot, especially of certain countries, they make this issue like common. And people don't understand. This is not normal. It is not the norm. It goes against the Sharia. The Sharia calls this talaq bid'i, the innovated, the rejected divorce. You're not supposed to do this. And if you do this, you are sinful. And then the scholars differ. You know, many madhab say that 3 equals 3. Ibn Taymiyyah and others, they argued the guy is sinful, but 3 equals 1. That's a whole different debate. I've given a longer Q&A about this. But the point being, by unanimous consensus, this is breaking the hudud of Allah. And you are making a mockery. A man came to Ibn Abbas and he said, "Oh, Ibn Abbas, I divorced my wife 100 times. 100 times. Ibn Abbas said, "As for the 3 of them, they are 3. And as for the 97, then you took the book of Allah as a joke and you made fun of it." Another person came, Ibn Abbas, he said, "Oh, Ibn Abbas, I divorced my wife the number of stars of the sky." Ibn Abbas became so angry. He started mimicking him. "Yabna Abbas, Yabna Abbas, you make a fool out of yourselves and you play with the religion of Allah and then you come running, Yabna Abbas, Yabna Abbas, save me. I cannot save you. You did it yourself." Now again, why did Ibn Abbas say this? Because Umar ibn Khattab made a policy that 3 equals 3, and this was the majority opinion. However, Ibn Taymiyyah and others, they have a different opinion. I don't want to get into the fiqh discussion here. The point being, by unanimous consensus, this is not the proper way of divorce. Triple talaq is not done in one sitting. It's not done. Never, ever. It should never be done. If divorce is to be done, you give one talaq after all of these procedures have been followed. And even then, if you take the wife back, it counts as one talaq. You still have 2 opportunities. And then if it happens again, you have 1 opportunity. And then finally, at the very end, after 3, that is the final. And if in case, by the way, the 3 months go by and the husband and wife separate, and then after a few months and they're both single, they want to get married together again, no problem. And the Quran says very explicitly to the wali of the woman, the Quran says, do not prevent her from marrying her ex-husband. You have no right. If she has decided that they want to give it another try and they both want to come together with a new nikah, you have no right to stop them. And this happened in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a brother, his sister got divorced, and then the man came to propose again, and he goes, "You embarrassed me, you humiliated me. I will never give my sister to you. You divorced her once, I'm never going to give her to you." Allah revealed in the Quran, Surah Baqarah, "فَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ." Do not prevent them from remarrying their husbands if they both want to have a fresh start. So it is haram to do that as well. Dear brothers and sisters, much can be said, time is limited. Ali ibn Abi Talib said, and memorize this, whoever follows the sunnah when they do the divorce, they will never regret it. Whoever follows the sunnah procedure that I have outlined, then that is the proper divorce and you're not going to regret it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me and you with and through the Quran, and may make us of those who his verses they understand and apply halal and haram throughout our lifespan. I ask Allah's forgiveness, you as well ask him, for he is the Ghafoor and the Rahman. Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah, the one and the unique. It is He alone that we worship, and it is His blessings that we seek. He is the Lord of the oppressed, and He answers the dua of the weak. Talaq is in the hands of the man. Okay, what if the woman, for a legitimate reason, wants to leave the marriage? Legitimate reason, she has to follow the same steps. Direct contact, get the family involved, get arbitrators involved. What if she has a reason and the husband doesn't agree that everything is fine? What should she do then? For the woman, the opportunity of breaking the marriage is called khula, and that's different. It is reported in Sahih Bukhari that the wife of Thabit ibn Qais came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "O Messenger of Allah, my husband Thabit, listen to this, I have nothing to complain about his deen or his akhlaq, but I find myself on the verge of being an ungrateful person and I want a divorce, I want to break up." Now, footnote here, there was a personal issue between Thabit and his wife, and when Thabit approached his wife, she just felt this is not the man she wants to be intimate with. She's saying, "I have no problem with his deen, with his akhlaq, but I just can't be a wife to this man," for whatever reason, she felt this way. Now the fault is coming from her, he's not doing anything wrong. She's literally saying, "I have no complaint, he's a good man, good Muslim, he treats me well, but I just can't be with this man in that manner, I want to just break away." So the Prophet ﷺ, without asking Thabit, without going to him, because in the end of the day, a wife is not a prisoner. A wife is a free lady. A wife has the same dignity and the same karama and the same respect. True, the talaq is in the hands of the man. But it's not as if he doesn't want it, khalas, the marriage is never going to end. She went to the Prophet, she gave a legitimate excuse. She goes, I just can't be with him in that manner. He didn't verify. What else are you going to verify? But he did say, you must give the mahar back. Now it's not his fault. You must give the mahar back. And she said, okay, I'll give the mahar back. I'll give it. She gave her a very expensive garden. So the Prophet ﷺ gave her the khula. Now, the khula cannot be done without the husband's permission. And if the husband does not give permission, then the wife should go to the Islamic court. And the Islamic court will see, like the Prophet ﷺ saw, if there is no Islamic court like in America or whatnot, she may go to the local imam that has been trained and knows when to give khula and when not to give khula. In the end of the day, it is true that the woman, the wife, either has to get the permission of the husband for the khula, or she has to go to a higher authority, and then that authority will look in, and then khula can be given, or maybe not, something else can happen after that. But the point being that we have to be very clear here. A woman is not a permanent prisoner. It's not the way of the Sharia. And if a woman really wants to leave or whatnot, in the end of the day, if all of the procedures and protocols have been followed, then the books of fiqh say she cannot remain like a prisoner. It is her right to do that as well. And of course, this is especially the case, obviously, if there's abuse taking place or something of this nature, in which case we can jump over many of the steps. If the husband is physically abusive and he is not stopping, if the husband is doing things that are un-Islamic, then obviously we don't expect her to remain in that household and to suffer more abuse until she leaves. And the topic of abuse is a sensitive one. Perhaps another day I will give a khutbah about that. Point being, brothers and sisters, there are options. And before we finish up, we have to be very explicit. Going through a divorce after you follow the proper protocols does not make you a bad person. There should be no stigma about divorce. A divorcee should not have a negative connotation. In fact, the majority of the Sahaba were divorcees. The majority of them. And we know of dozens of incidents of Sahaba and Sahabiyat that are Jannati people and they ended up in divorce. Just because you end up in divorce doesn't mean you're a bad person. Sometimes two people don't get along. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Zainab and Zayd, the both of them are the people of Jannah. They couldn't get along, they ended up in divorce. Asma binti Abi Bakr and Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. Look at these two names. Zubayr, one of the Hawari of the Prophet, and the cousin. Zubayr and Asma, the sister of Aisha. Look at their honor, their karam, their status. They didn't get along. Eventually they end up in a divorce. There was no stigma attached. And the notion of a divorcee carrying a negative stigma, this is 100% cultural, 0% Islamic. And sadly, it is the women who carry the brunt of this stigma. For some reason, the men seem to go away scot-free, even though it needs to be said that in most cases, and every sheikh and imam knows this, it is the husband who is more at fault. And yes, in some cases, no doubt, the other gender is at fault as well. And usually, both genders have done something to get to that situation. So, there should be no stigma attached to marriage and so many divorce. And there are so many sahaba who went through multiple divorces and remarried over and over again. Unfortunately, we have a problem in our times by thinking a widowed lady or a divorced lady should not be touched. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married so many ladies. All of them were widowed and divorcees except for Aisha. Think about that. All of them were widowed and divorcees. He didn't think there was any stigma in that. Another issue, brothers and sisters, is that divorce should be amicable as much as possible. It is said that one of the tabi'un, he was contemplating divorce. His friend came to him, he said, what is the problem with your wife? Why are you divorcing? And he said, do you think any man exposes the dirty laundry in his own house? I'm going to cover up what's going on. I'm not going to tell you. Then after the divorce happened, the man came, okay, now can you tell me what's the problem of your wife? He said, subhanallah, she is no longer even related to me. Why would I speak about a woman who is ajnabiyah from me? This is the akhlaq of divorce. Certain problems, we're not talking about abuse by the way, but you know, akhlaqi issues or anger or whatnot, no need to spill the beans and expose the laundry. You cover the faults of your believer. If this is the case with any two, then how much more so about husband and wife? As much as possible, if it's a personal issue, no need to tell everybody and badmouth the other party. Sometimes marriage does not work out. And the final point, brothers and sisters, is that one of the most amazing rulings of our Sharia, Allah says in the Quran, if you're going to let let them go. And if you're going to give them a divorce, then Allah says, وَمَتِّعُوهُنَّ عَلَى الْمُوسِعِ قَدَرُهُ وَعَلَى الْمُقْتِرِ قَدَرُهُ. When you give them a divorce and they're about to leave, gift them a gift. The rich person should give a gift that is worthy of him. And the one who doesn't have that much money, let him give a gift that is worthy of him. Can you believe you are divorcing and Allah says you have to give a gift, O husbands? This is our Sharia. Compare this with how it actually happens in our society, with all of the vulgarities and the drama and this and that. Compare the Quran and the Sharia with the reality of our lives. Even when you're parting and it didn't work out, Allah says to the husband, if you're rich, give her a rich gift. And if you cannot afford, give what you can afford. But you must give something to the lady that you have divorced. Subhanallah. Just to cleanse anything, just to try a new start. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, that وَإِنْ يَتَفَرَّقَا, and if the two of them are going to split up, يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلًّا مِّن سَعَتِهِ, Allah will take care of each of them from His bounties. Don't worry, divorce is problematic, divorce is troublesome, divorce is painful, we all know this. But Allah says, if it is done properly, and if you reach that stage where you're heading different ways, Allah says, don't worry, I will take care of each of you. And by the way, the famous verses that we all read, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْتَسِبُ. Whoever puts his trust in Allah, Allah will provide a means for him from a place he didn't expect. Do you know, these verses are in Surah Al-Talaq. And they come right after the verses of Talaq. It is as if Allah is saying, don't give up hope, O divorcee. Don't give up hope, O widowed lady. Don't give up hope, O one who has gone through a traumatic divorce. Do not give up hope. Put your tawakkul in Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jal will bring about a new set of affairs. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. This ayah occurs after the context of divorce. Allah is saying, don't worry, I will take care of you. So keep your spirits high. Put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And husbands and wives, try your best. Try your best to maintain marriage. If it is not working out, follow all of these protocols. And if at the end you decide to part ways, do it properly. And if you do so, then you will do so with a clean heart and with no problems on the Day of Judgment. If you don't follow the Sunnah, then as the Prophet ﷺ said, you are playing with the Book of Allah and playing with the Sharia of Allah. And we seek Allah's refuge from ever, ever doing that. Allahumma inni da'in fa'aminu. اللهم لا تدع في هذا اليوم ذما إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا عسيرا إلا يسرته. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بسوء فاشغله بنفسه واجعل تدمير في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز. عباد الله, إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنين جن وإنسه, فقال عز من قائل عليما, إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي, يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله, إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروا يزد لكم, ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر, وأقم الصلاة.
يا من أجبت دعاء نوح فانتصر وحملته في فلكك المشحون, يا من أحال النار حول خليله روحا وريحانا بقولك كون.